So we're going to talk about the evolution of the soul. Anybody here remember what the very first verse in the Bible is? Okay. Who can quote it? The very first verse in the Bible. Well, there it is. That's the way God said it, right there.
בראשית ברא אלוהים את השמיים ואת הארץ.
We got that recorded forever now.
Why don't you have him translate this?
Okay, Susan, what's that mean?
In the beginning was the Word.
No, are we talking about the New Testament?
Yeah, that's the New Testament. In the beginning, God
created the heavens and the earth.
Right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what's interesting about this, you go on, and it talks about the creation of the earth, and then it says, and God made the stars, and God made the sun, or God placed them there. So, in other words, God made the sun and the stars after he made the earth. So the order isn't really precise. But what's interesting about this first verse is the second verse. And the earth was without form. The earth was without form and was void. Okay? But that's not the way it reads in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it reads this way. And the earth was a desolate wasteland. Now that's interesting. The earth was a desolate wasteland. And then we go to Isaiah chapter 14, and it talks about a person named Lucifer. And it says, is this the man that made the world as a wilderness or a desolate wasteland? Now what does this tell us? Is it possible that there was some great enemy, like Hitler-type character, like in the days of Atlantis, that caused the earth to be a desolate wasteland, and it had to be repopulated? Is it possible that the story of Adam and Eve has been told over and over and over many times on this earth, that the Adam was not the first Adam? Even the early Mormon leaders recognized this and taught that there were Adams before the Adam of the Bible. And many people have latched on to that. Many teachers in the past have latched on to that idea that are outside of the mainstream religious thinking. But another interesting thing about the verse is this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was a desolate wasteland. What is the time period between the first verse and the second? Could it be thousands of years, millions of years, billions of years, or maybe a trillion years or more? According to a Hindu record, the age of the universe is, I believe, it was 3.14 trillion years, according to their records. So they believe the Earth is much older than the scientists who teach about the Big Bang. They say the Big Bang happened approximately 14 billion years ago, which in the scheme of things isn't that long. But the theory seems to make a lot of sense when you study it because of the expanding universe. It appears that the Big Bang happened about 14 billion years ago. It's funny how the term caught on about the Big Bang. I believe it was Fred Hoyle. He didn't believe in the Big Bang at all, and he made a joke about it because he thought it was kind of a dumb theory, and so he just made a joke about the Big Bang, and all of a sudden he says, well, this is just like a Big Bang, he says, and that just caught on. And he didn't intend to invent a name for it.
What? He was trying to make it.
Yeah, he was trying to put it down, make fun of the theory, and then he eventually had to embrace it because all the evidence seemed to support it. So anyway, there's a long distance between creating the heaven and the earth and the time that the earth was a desolate wasteland. The earth has been a desolate wasteland a number of times. We know for sure from esoteric writings that man has been upon this earth approximately 18 million years. Now, the scientists keep on going back farther and farther. They have gone back, you know, first of all, they went back a few hundred thousand years, which really disturbed the literal creationists. And then they went back a million years and then several million years. Now they've got evidence that man was here, I believe they've gone back about 4 million years. So they've got about 14 million years yet to go back to find the first real man. 8 million? Oh, okay. Garrett has a wider knowledge of just history and facts of any person I've met in my life, I think. So correct me anytime you want, because he's done a vast amount of reading. So 8 million years?
It's close to, yeah.
Really?
Like 7.88.
Okay, we only got 10 million more to go. But when I was young, I think it was only like less than a million years back, you know, so... They keep going back farther all the time. Well, where do you suppose the real beginning was? Have you ever thought about that? And that's one of the things we're going to do Sunday. Is we're going to see if we can take somebody back to as far back as we can go. And see where it leads us. Scientologists have tried this, and they've taken people back. I can't remember how far back, like 60 million years, I think, is the farthest back they've gone. But they do a lot of regression with their therapy they give out. A lot of the things they do are questionable, but they do some kind of interesting things also. But to go back to the beginning is interesting. It's probably the greatest mystery. The second greatest mystery is going back to the beginning of our existence. What's the greatest mystery? What is the greatest mystery of them all? What is it? Right, that we exist at all. I mean, just think, if there was just one rock in the whole universe, if there were just one rock there, that by itself would be a marvelous thing, that one rock could materialize out of empty space. You just have one rock. But we got much more than one rock. We got many worlds, and on these worlds we have life, people such as ourselves, and probably all kinds of different forms that defy the imagination. But the fact that you can look up at the night sky and see that creation is here, I mean, it's not open to debate. It is definitely here. I mean, that is fantastic. That is the greatest mystery of it all, is that anything exists. Is that we exist, God exists, matter exists. The fact that anything exists at all is really, when you think about it, the most marvelous and greatest mystery of it all. Why does anything exist? Why isn't there just empty space and nothing else? Why would there even be a God? Why would there be anything? But the fact that there is something, I mean, that's the most amazing thing that that boggles my mind when I think about it. Every time I go up and I look at the sky, especially when I look at, there's something about looking at the stars at night. Whenever I look at them, I marvel. I thought, it is amazing that they are there. And then I look at me, it's amazing that I'm here. It's amazing that anything is here. And when you think about it, it's just amazing to contemplate. And then you think of the scriptures that says, behold the heavens, they declare the handiwork of God. And, you know, when you look at the heavens, you think it does look like a handiwork of a great intelligence. But then when you ask that question, people say, well, it's hard to believe that there's a God, but it's really, when you think of it, it's hard to believe that we are here, that there is intelligence in matter. Look at Susan Carter over there. Look at that intelligence in that matter right there. Right there. There's intelligence there. And it's the intelligence is occupying matter. Right there. Right in that spot. Right over here also. There's intelligence occupying that matter, that 120 pounds of matter right there. That'll be your weight in another month after you're on this new diet.
Your 29th birthday.
And right there, another intelligence occupying matter. Yet, the Hindus believe that God is intelligence that occupies the matter of the universe, and the whole universe is His body. Now, why is it hard to believe that an intelligence can occupy matter, like right over there in Robin's body, there's an intelligence occupying matter. And that intelligence is universal throughout her body. Hold up your index finger. Are you in that index finger? Touch it with your other, pinch it. Are you there?
Yeah.
You feel yourself there, don't you? You're omnipresent throughout your body. Your life is everywhere in your body. Wherever you pinch, you're there. Maybe I'm not here. But wherever you touch your body, you're present in that body. And the same thing with the universe. An intelligence occupies the matter of the universe, and the matter of the whole universe is his, her, it, its body. Why is that any harder to believe that an intelligence is occupying the body of the universe than it is to believe that an intelligence is occupying that body over there of Asaf's? Maybe Asaf is a little hard to swallow. He says some oddball things now and then, but he does know the first verse of the Bible in the Hebrew. So we're going to give him some slack.